You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Rick Ackerman, editor of the newsletter Rick's Picks. His website, RickAckerman.com. He's speaking to us from South Florida. Welcome back to the show, Rick.
Always a pleasure, Jim. Speaking from sunny Boca Regional Hospital. I was on my way out the door to Houston and had a cough, and I thought, well, let's get this checked out because it was a nuisance a few months ago. So anyway, they just cured me of typhus or some such, and everything's fine, and I'm hoping to get discharged today.
The big story, or it depends, what's the big story from your point of view today?
I think we're topping, really. And, I had a great call there when the S&Ps were coming down real hard, and I said 4820 is going to be it. It's going to be the end of the bear market. And I hit that so close, and we got, well, so far a 1,200-point rally. And so I deserve to say to extend it a little further, since I hit it so perfectly initially. I've now given up on the idea that this market's going to any great new heights, and this is kind of unusual for me, but it's really based on fundamentals. I let the charts kind of do the talking, but in this case, I just can't see Trump and all this Trump chaos somehow skating us by recession. And I do think that the residential real estate market is going to join in the collapse, the ongoing collapse of the commercial market. You know, the rates are so high right now, 7%, that nobody can afford a house. And, of course, that's going to kill quite a bit of the economy. I think the auto industry is in big trouble. And it's like, where do we see any room, really, for anything but recession, let alone the kind of growth that Trump thinks we're going to have to more or less offset the, I think it would be something like $3.9 trillion of additional borrowing needed to get this big, beautiful budget bill through. So it may be big and beautiful for those of us who pay taxes, but it's going to put us deeper in the hole. And I don't think they're really Trump's long-term plan is great. There's lots of growth in it, and I think it really is a start on bringing America back. But we've got to cross the valley in the meantime.
And in that meantime, we had a court ruling saying the tariffs were unconstitutional. Do you think that ruling will be followed, or will it just be the continued tariffs on, tariffs off, tariffs high, tariffs low policy of the White House?
I've tuned the whole tariff thing out. It's just worthless babble. It's just a distraction. There are many other things we can spend our time thinking about and coming up with answers that help us make better investment decisions.
NVIDIA had a monster report, up 69%.
That's just a lot of noise, too. And it's part of the same fraud that they used to heist, the boys that control Microsoft. I explained it, you know, how we have this wealth effect going on when stocks open up on some of the biggest cap stocks in the world open the day on gaps of $20 or $30, and they're creating literally out of nowhere hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars worth of phony wealth effect. So NVIDIA is just a big sideshow too, and nobody really has a handle on what the AI landscape's going to look like. I've tuned that out along with tariffs, although I have to say that in my own use of some of these AI tools, I'm pretty impressed.
What are some of the things AI helps you out with? Because a lot of people are still trying to figure that out.
It answers questions much better than what we became used to with the search engines. You know, the Google search and everything else got so cluttered up with ads. But when you open up Microsoft Pilot or ChatGPT, you get pretty good answers to the questions that we used to get, like we used to get just using search engines. So it's good. But to get into AI that sort of ties into something I want to talk about, my friend Peter Eliade sent me a note the other day. It was to congratulate me for the 48-20 target call in the S&Ps, but he also got into some very interesting stuff that he was doing for a presentation before the national group of cycles forecasters. Peter may be the best in the world at that, and he used the organization's database to build a long, long chart for, I guess it was the S&Ps, that goes back to the year 1790. And from this long, long graph that's got all kinds of very sophisticated little corrections in it, and he's very precise when he does a chart. So he comes up with something that stretches back hundreds of years, and which, not coincidentally, gave us a rally back in February that touched a trend line that stretches all the way back to 1790. So with this thing popping up to the trend line of such long duration, and also meeting a number of other technical criteria that Peter defined as a top, he said, yeah, I really think the top is in, that we're about to go into a major, like maybe a generation or two bear market. He's thinking more like 1929 to 1954, that kind of bear market. So so since I spoke with him, and that was about, well, we exchanged emails, and he used ChatGPT, kind of an evolved version of it that he pays, I think he said, $20 a month extra for. But he fed it its data, and it kept querying him to refine the graph. He was trying to build a graph for this presentation that he's doing in mid-June, and he sent me, it was a 90-page record of his conversation with ChatGPT as it queried him to refine the chart to make it better and better and better. So it's a pretty good chart, but since we spoke, the E-mini S&Ps, which it's not an exact proxy for what he's charting, but they exploded, and I think they've gone well through his threshold, but they haven't gone through mine. And I still think that that, as Peter does, but for different reasons, that the top is in for the stock market, and we're getting these mau-mau feints higher. But I don't think, even if we go to a new marginal high, I'm going to be very skeptical up there. And I sent him a chart of my own that I've published numerous times. It shows how IBM topped back in the dot-com crash. And it got within a few inches of a target of mine. This is in a multi-year bull market. And there it was, just a short hop and skip jump from my target. And then it came down pretty hard. So I'm too busy patting myself on the back to notice that IBM whipped around and it started to pick up a little steam, and before you knew it, it was above that old high that I'd celebrated so with so much hubris. So so it came, and from that point, from that marginal new high, which actually hit my target exactly, a hidden pivot target, IBM came down so hard that it offers a kind of a picture perfect chart of what a bear market is psychologically. You know, it reflects a price reversal where pretty much every bull is on board. They love the breakout, and every bear is on board because they're short covering above the old high. So with virtually everybody loaded on and no buyers left, the collapse in IBM and, of course, some of the other dot-com stocks was catastrophic.
So who's the canary in the coal mine this time? IBM, was it before? What is it now?
I use Microsoft, And I had a target for this short squeeze rally that is still going on. Well, it's kind of dying in Microsoft, but I had a target out there at 462.26, and I missed by 6 cents. So I hit it exactly yesterday. We managed to get some naked short calls off, and I have a reasonable presumption now that the top is in IBM, even though it's threatening. And if it went to a new high, I don't think I'd buy it, literally.
We'll have more with Rick Hackerman right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Rick Hackerman. Rick, what's the story with gold?
I love it. It's been sort of stair-stepping higher on hidden pivot targets. The last one was 3360, and that was basis the COMEX June. And it came down pretty hard, but I have a target now at 3393, but it connects up to that. That is what I call the midpoint pivot associated with a target that I think is at, I think 3638 is the number, but let me give you a, gold looks good. And just remember, every time they hit it really hard and everybody's out there saying, oh, well, that's it for gold, just keep in mind, every sovereign entity on planet Earth is either quietly or brazenly accumulating gold. So if the central banks of the whole world are keen on buying gold, then so should we be.
Bitcoin, nearly $110,000 now. Is that a flash in the pan, or is it going to be something people regretted getting into?
Bitcoin's it's a hoax, and we've talked about that a lot of times. There's nobody in the world out there, and I don't care whether we're talking about Saylor or any of the big players, none of them has made even a reasonable case for why Bitcoin should be worth anything. You know, I think for its ability to record a transaction securely within a blockchain, although it doesn't do that very efficiently enough to rival credit cards, I think Bitcoin should be worth $2 or $3, but certainly not $110,000. I still forecast it the way I see it, so I do have targets in Bitcoin as high as $144,000. I don't know if it's going to get there, but it's just been easy peasy. The more violently a trading symbol moves, the easier it is for me to forecast it exactly. Bitcoin's been a little bit of a son of a bitch lately, because I had it going from, I think, 105,000, 106,000 to 113,000, and it only made it to 112 and change, so we didn't get short up there. And then I had it coming back down on the correction to 107, and it just went blotto. It's been going sideways for so many days that it's now in my TBTW category, too boring to watch. But it's very predictable. And if you want some of the predictions, I'm out on Golden Meadow on their website, it's a space on the site called Rick's Gold and Bitcoin Radar. But, Bitcoin is just so easy to nail. It's so predictable that, if you trade it, just, you should check out some of my numbers.
Now, earlier in the interview, you mentioned real estate could be ready to collapse, both residential and commercial.
Commercial's been in a collapse for a state of years. It's unacknowledged simply because the cities don't want to take the hit and the developers don't want to take the hit. So they've all got this quiet thing going on where the landlord says, just keep making your payments and everything will be all right. But they're all kidding themselves, you know. San Francisco in particular, you've got a couple buildings have changed hands, but the marginal price that those low price sales set is not reflected at all anywhere. And so commercial real estate, it's never going to recover. It's in a disaster for the rest of our lives and the rest of your children's lives, and they're never going to be able to convert those buildings. That's an impossibility. Even when you convert them, you got to ask yourself, well, who is emptying out of those buildings at 8 a.m. wearing a suit and going to what job? So it's never going to happen. So commercial real estate is history, and residential, the only reason it's kind of hanging up there is because the baby boomers have been prevented. They're all overhoused. They like to downsize. Number one, there's nobody they can sell those homes to, certainly not at the current price, and certainly not with 7% mortgages. So they're mostly thinking, everything will be all right. You know, I don't have to sell this place. I'm not desperate for money. But you'll find that maybe 90% of those baby boomers include the value of their home in their nest egg, and who the hell are they going to sell it to? You know, there are going to be so many disappointed nest eggs here in the baby boomer generation because all their wealth comes from two sources, inflated stocks and inflated home prices. And I don't think both of those things are going to last. So the residential real estate market, especially in the overhoused baby boomer category of, say, let's say 500,000 to 3 million bucks, it's headed for a collapse like we've never seen before.
Rick, anything else we should be keeping a close eye on?
There's so many things to watch, Jim, but I would say just don't take your eye off the ball. You know, no matter what happens, I think we're very late in the game here, and I love so many of the things that Trump's doing, especially dealing with all the scumbags and scoundrels that have been running America. But you know, he's reordering things, and of course, woke is not even on its last legs. The way they did in DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, that disappeared so quickly that it gives you a sense of what's possible. And of course, the big enchilada there for change will be the school system, which is run by the commie-loving Teachers Association, Teachers Union. But I think parents are going to get closer to the schools, and we're going to have a lot of change there and maybe some growth in the charter school movement. So I think Trump is doing great things, but from the economic standpoint, he's taken on something that's impossible. And I don't think there are many people out there who believe that all of the stimulus in his $3.9 trillion of additional borrowing, big, beautiful bill, is going to really give us a sustainable change in the economy that will sort of power us past a recession.
Rick, thank you so much for chatting with us, and get well.
Thanks much. I think I'm well. I hope the doctors are going to give me my furlough today, and I guess I'll be on my way to Houston shortly. But anyway, take care, and it's always a pleasure to connect with your vast audience.
My guest has been Rick Ackerman, editor of the newsletter Rick's Picks. His website, rickackerman.com. If you have any questions for Rick or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.